Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. The book of Malachi said that they shall be mine in the day when I go to make up my jewels. And this is Malachi chapter 3. He said, even to those that think upon his name, and the name of the Lord is a subject that relates to who God is, to who, what his character is like, all of his great works toward us, the precious name of Jesus. Of course, Jesus, the name Jesus means Jehovah has become salvation. And so Jesus, the name Jesus, fulfills all of the Old Testament names of the Lord, the Jehovah titles, Adonai, and so on, Elohim. The Lord God is everything to us. Let's look in the word of the Lord. And again, we want to honor your pastor. We appreciate so much Brother Cowan inviting us to come, making room in the schedule of this church. And on the part of my wife, myself, and my granddaughter, we appreciate it so much. They've treated us so kind. And we've had a great fellowship and a great time. And I haven't said this, but I want to also commend those that are involved in music and singing. Have done a tremendous job. And God sees your work of faith. All of you that are involved in the church that are working, teaching, outreach, and so on, taking care of the grounds, you're doing a great job. And I believe God has great things ahead for this church. Great spirit of prayer, spirit of worship that is here. And I want to, anyone that is here without the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you need to make some advances in God, I want to challenge you that now is the time to do it. And as we mentioned this morning, today is the day of salvation. So we're going to go to the book of Exodus, chapter number 33. And we'll start there, and then we're going to go to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 3. I appreciate my wife so much. She's always ready to sing and play. I just feel like we were going to sing, but I just feel like it's time to go into the word of the Lord. But I appreciate my wife and Sister Kyra helping us out. So let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter number 33, and I appreciate all these young people, these young men. And I am just believing that God is going to continue to use them for his glory. So let's look at, again, Exodus chapter 33. And we're going to kind of skip through here. Verse number 13. Now, therefore, this is Moses speaking. I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee. And may that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And the Lord, speaking, he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto them, this is Moses speaking, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. So Moses has requested God's presence to go with him, and he has requested God's knowledge and understanding to go with him. Notice in verse number 18, and we will mention this. This is the culmination. This is the greatest cry of Moses' heart. In verse number 18, he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. The Lord answers and says, I will make all my goodness to pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy unto whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with mine hands while I pass by. Now, we're not going to read all the verses, but let's skip to chapter number 34. And the Lord, in verse number 5, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And these are some of God's main characteristics the Lord begins to proclaim. And he passed by him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy to thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions. And the Bible says in verse 18, Moses made haste and bowed his head forward and to the earth and worshiped. And let's go to verse number 30 or 29. It came to pass when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tables of the testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not or did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron saw, and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. They were afraid to come nigh unto him. And then we'll skip to the second Corinthians, third chapter. Second Corinthians chapter number 3. Everyone say Second Corinthians chapter number 3. And we will read from verse number 17. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Yet so, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, we are changed from the same image from glory to glory. And I want to preach with the help of the Lord on this subject, Moses' cry. He said, show me thy glory. And I want to title this message, Changed by His Glory. Changed by His Glory. Amen. Sometimes we need to desire a really deep, genuine, sincere saturation in the presence of the Holy Ghost, in the presence of God, because it is miraculous what the Lord can do in us when His glory comes and moves in us. Let's pray together. The Lord would speak to us. Lord Jesus, we ask You to help us today. God, I pray that You would help me today to be Your mouthpiece, that You in all things would be glorified, and help us to respond according to Your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And you can be seated. Changed by the glory. Changed by the glory. The glory of the Lord is defined as God's beauty. It is defined as God's splendor. In the Bible, if you have read your Bible, you might remember that when the children of Israel built the tabernacle in the wilderness, when everything was completed in the book of Leviticus, chapter number 9 and 10, that not only did fire come down from heaven, but the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle in the wilderness. The Bible says that the glory of the Lord abode above the tabernacle when Israel journeyed. There was a pillar of fire by day and a cloud of fire, and there was fire by night. The scripture also tells us another several hundred years afterwards that when Solomon had completed the temple in Jerusalem and everything had been built according to the pattern, the proper sacrifices had been offered, that fire came down from heaven, yes, but also the glory of the Lord came and filled the temple. The fire continued to fall in the scriptures, and it fell ultimately on the day of Pentecost, representing a sacrifice that had been received, that had been accepted. You and I, when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there is a fire that comes into our hearts. It is the power of the Holy Ghost. But also in the New Testament, the idea and the subject of the glory of the Lord continues. The scripture tells us, and we will turn to the book of Luke chapter number 9, that Jesus went to a mountain far apart, and theologians suppose in Luke chapter 9 that this is possibly Mount Hebron. The Bible does not say, but he ascended up to this mountain, and in this mountain Jesus was transfigured and the glory of the Lord appeared. Luke chapter 9 and verse number 28, it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. And he appeared, who appeared in glory, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And so we have another picture of the glory of God as it is manifest at the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. And the disciples were asleep, and when they awoke, they saw his glory. Later, the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 4 says, the glory of God is revealed to us in the face of Jesus Christ. Moses saw the glory of God, or not Moses, but Isaiah saw the glory of God in Isaiah chapter 6 when the Bible said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And the seraphims who were praising the Lord were saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And they said, the whole earth is full of his glory. He saw the glory of God. Ezekiel saw the glory of God as a throne with a rainbow, and there was bright light and fire and all type of colors that emanated from the presence of God. When we begin to look at the effect of the glory of God, there were times in the Old Testament where the priesthood could not even come close to God because his glory was so intense. But other passages reveal to us that the glory of God can change a person like nothing else can change. The book of Daniel, when Daniel had seen several visions, I believe at least 4 or 5 visions that Daniel received, in one of them he sees an angel. 2 places he said, I'm not able to even stand up in the presence and in your presence from an angel of God. But the scripture says at least in one instance that the angel reached down and touched him and said, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. And he said, be strong. And when he was touched, he was able to stand and complete his assignment for that day. He was given strength. Isaiah cried out. And Isaiah, when the Lord said, who will go? Isaiah said, behold, here am I, send me. And the scripture said that God sent an angel to take coals of fire off of the altar. But remember that before that moment that Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am a man undone. He said, I am not able to do it. He said, I am not capable. But when the Lord touched him with the fire off of the altar, the coal of fire, the Lord said, you will go, and you will have the capacity to fulfill my will. There is a spiritual touch that can come upon us. Our second text said, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We could continue to talk about the book of Revelation and the several places where the glory of God is manifest. And the glory of God, again, is God's beauty. It's God's holiness. It's God's intense spirituality in all of its power and its glory. The fire of the Holy Ghost refers to our ability to do the will of God, our motivation and our power to do the will of God. But when we talk about the glory, we are talking about something that changes us into the image of God. 2 Corinthians again, it said, we also are changed, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed by the same image from glory to glory. The word glass there means a mirror, and the word changed means metamorphosis. Amen. The word there means we are transformed. When we see the glory, when we come into the presence of God's glory, that we can be changed, we can be made into a different kind of person by, the Bible said, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. There was something in Moses's heart that he desired the glory of God, the glory of God. Hallelujah. The precious glory, the precious glory. I want to ask you today, is there a feeling, is there something in your heart that desires the glory of God, the presence of God? David said in the book of Psalms chapter number 63, he said, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My heart crieth after thee as in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. David said, I long for you. I thirst for you. There's something in my heart that wants to see your glory. It wants to experience your power. Hallelujah. Let's all lift our hands and love the Lord. I feel like in the Spirit, I don't say this very often, but there is a kind of a resistance to the depth that we want to go through today. But I pray that you would give your heart to the Lord. I'm not up here performing. I'm trying to relate what I feel is the Lord's will today. Let there be a desire for more of God's Spirit and the transforming power of the Holy Ghost in my life and in our lives. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. The glory of the Lord, the glory, the glory, the glory, the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The glory, the glory, the glory of the Lord. Every one of us need a glory experience in our lives. Every one of us need a time where we come into the presence of God and we spend some time in the glorious presence of the Lord. We've talked about speaking in tongues. It's so important to be renewed in the Holy Ghost. But let me go beyond that and say that there is a transforming power that can get a hold of us. Some of you have done this. Most of us hopefully have. But some of you have prayed at an altar and you have prayed and asked the Lord to transform you, and you prayed and you prayed and you waited and you waited, and the glory of God was saturating you and it was changing you. When you left that place, you were a different person. I will never forget a service that we had with Brother Murray Lang preaching. He was the previous pastor of our home church in Fresno, California. I was a young person. It was back in the late 70s. We had had tremendous services. We had been having revival. But in my heart, I was longing for something deeper, something more powerful. I wanted to have a change in my life. I told the Lord that night, when we have this altar service, I want to spend time speaking in tongues. I want to spend time just you and I praying. I want to spend time at this altar. It's not going to bother me if I spend a half an hour, whatever it takes, or just I want to spend time in your presence. I want to change in my life. I don't remember the situations that were going on. I just needed something deeper. I needed something more powerful. And as that service began to conclude, certainly there was a move of God that began to transpire. I just got on my knees and began to pray. I've been worshiping, speaking in tongues. But I will never forget giving the Lord the chance, giving the Lord the opportunity, telling God, I've got to have more. I've got to have your glory. I've got to have a transforming experience. It paved the way for a major change. I spent time. I can't explain it all to you. I hope it's not foreign to you. But I pray that in your life, in your heart, in your experience with God, there comes times, it doesn't have to be always, but there comes periods in your life where, out of frustration, out of simply getting tired of going through a routine, you come to the place where you say, God, I've got to do more than hear about you. I've got to do more than know about you. I've got to experience you. I've got to have a glorious experience. I've got to change. I've got to be transformed. From that moment, my life had been changed. Speaking in tongues, waiting on the presence of God, waiting on the presence of God. You can be seated. It was a change in my life as a young man that I began to go out on the street and preach and influence other young people. And God, somehow, I cannot explain it, but I gave God a chance. I gave God a chance to change me with his glory. Boy, I tell you, I really feel opposition here today. I'm not saying it's any individual. I don't feel necessarily it's any individual, but I do feel the devil doesn't want this to be preached. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to preach anyway. Hallelujah. But you know, we've got to go beyond the comfort zone. We've got to go beyond the comfort zone. Yes, yes, yes. If anybody, you can be seated. If anybody, now hear me what I'm preaching here today. If anybody could have been content with knowledge, it would have been Moses. He had already been to the top of Mount Zion. He'd already been to the top of that mountain, that 6,000-foot rocky mountain. He'd already been to the top six times. each time he went, it was a further revelation of God's will. It started out, I could go through the details, I've got it in my notes, but it started out with an invitation to the people of God. Moses was up there and God said, I want you to go down, invite the children of Israel, that if they want to be my people, and I will be their God. He goes down, he offers them, and they said, of course, we want to be the children of God. He goes back up the mountain, and the Lord speaks to him and said, if they are going to be my people, they're going to have to be a holy people. They're going to have to dedicate themselves to me. They've got to take care of themselves, but I will bless them, and I will love them. And he goes back down, and he says, yes, they'll do it. And the Lord said, you got to keep them away from the mountain. It's holy. You've got to take care of this. Not everyone can just come into my presence right now. And Moses, he relays the people all of these messages. God begins to reveal all that you read about in the book of Leviticus, in the book of Exodus, all of the laws and the ordinances. God tells Moses, and Moses goes back down after the fourth ascent and shares these things with them. They say, that's good. That's right. He goes back up to fifth time, and God shares with him the plan of the tabernacle. He shares with them the ways that there was supposed to be the sacrificial system. And some of the elders go up and they see from a distance part of the presence of God. An anointing comes upon them. They are learning. Let me tell you, you can learn. We can learn, and thank God for learning. But learning doesn't take the place of a deep transforming experience with God. We'll illustrate that here in a moment, because the Bible said after his fifth ascent, coming down and sharing the things of God with the children of Israel. In fact, fifth ascent, he brought the law, the tables of stone. And fifth ascent, he comes down, he finds the children of Israel. They're worshiping a false god. He had been up there for 40 days and 40 nights. And incidentally, God had sustained him all of that time. I believe the Bible said he didn't even drink water, and don't try that, or eat food for 40 days and 40 nights. God sustained him miraculously. But when he came down, the children of Israel, because they were flesh, because they were weak, whatever the reason, many of them had given themselves over to idolatry. They'd made a false god, and Aaron had helped out. And how many knows the story? Raise your hand. But the Bible said that he was frustrated, and he threw the table down, and he broke it. And he goes to a tabernacle outside of the camp, and he begins to pray. And I believe it was the sixth ascent. Now, I'm not looking at my notes here, that he goes up, and the sixth ascent is the number of man. He goes up, and he is completely defeated. And the Lord tells him, I'm not going to go with the children of Israel. I'm not going to go with them. And Moses, he feels defeated. He had done everything he knew to do. And then he capped it all off by his anger and destroying the tables of stone, the law. And during this period of time, I believe it was either after, but he begins to pray. It must have been after the sixth ascent that he begins to pray. And he prays the prayer that we have read. We're not going to go into each part of it. But the Lord said, I'm not going to go. And Moses, point by point, begins to ask God and tell God why that they needed his presence. The Lord said, you can go, but I'm not going to be with you. But Moses says, Lord, we've got to go with you. You've got to go with us so the world will know about you. And the Lord said, I will go. And then Moses said, if you know me, then I want to know you. And if you really love me, then your presence has to go with me. And God says, my presence will go with you because I know you by name. But Moses was not satisfied with just that. And I'm not preaching just to preach about Moses today. I'm preaching to preach to us today. Because all that Moses knew, all of his training in Egypt, all of the training in the wilderness, it was, yes, it was good, and it was a part of his brokenness and his humility and his knowledge and all that Moses had received. It still was not enough, because Moses, the cry of his heart was, show me your glory. I've got to have something spiritual. I've got to have something that will transform me. I feel frustrated. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to the place where you say, God, I've been going to church all these years, and look at me, I still struggle. I've been there. Have you ever been to that place where you say, God, I've learned all these scriptures. I've learned these doctrines, and thank God for the apostolic doctrine and the truth that is in his word. But there are times when I've cried out, and many of you have cried out, Lord, if I know so much and I've been around so much, how is it that I still feel like I just can't do your will and like I want to do in my life? Moses had already told the Lord, it's too much for me. And Moses, the Bible said, God said, I want you to share it with the elders. Moses had already cried out, Lord, they are a backsliding people. And he had interceded for them, but it was getting to him. And to culminate it, after God's revelation of salvation and the salvation plan for Israel and the blood sacrifice, to cap it all off, Israel, hearing the words of God, they still failed to seek after the Lord. Moses took it personally. And in his heart, he said, the only thing that will change me is an experience with your glory. So, and God knew this was going to happen. And let me tell you that when Moses went up the seventh time, that was the last time he needed to go up. When Moses came down, his face was changed. Just a few days after, shortly after that, Israel began to move through the wilderness. They did not know what lay in store for them. There were still trials, but never again did Moses have to have that experience that he had on the mountaintop. There was renewing, but that experience changed him. It changed him like the Bible says, it transformed him. Like you would transform a metamorphosis, like a caterpillar changes into a butterfly, or like a tadpole changes into a frog. Like the mortal man that is fallible, like Peter that was so confident, was changed after his failure into a man of God that would never deny the Lord, even to when he gave his life for the gospel. Because something happened in his life, a change by the glory of God. Amen. The Bible said that Moses saw the glory of God, and God brought him to that place where there was a place in the cleft of the rock. The Lord said, there is a place by me. There is a place by me. So many of these things you can read and think on in your prayers. The Lord said, there's a place by me. It's in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to go by. And the Lord said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to proclaim my name. I'm going to talk about my characteristics, and the glory is going to touch you. And that's what happened. In chapter 34, the Lord begins to proclaim his righteousness, his love, his mercy, his kindness, his faithfulness, his judgment. These are some of the characteristics of God. This is a broad revelation of who God is. But in the midst of that revelation, as he proclaims the name of the Lord, there's something spiritually that begins to happen to Moses. Something begins to saturate him. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and love the Lord together today. The glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The glory of God. Glory began to saturate him. There was something spiritual that was happening to him. I can't explain it all. I can't explain what happens. I remember going to a youth camp as just a 16-year-old and getting the young people. We got a bunch of us, and we began to pray after a service. We took it down to the sanctuary. We should have been in bed, I guess. It was 11:30, almost 12 o'clock, but we were praying, and we prayed one for another. We prayed for probably over an hour. Many of the young people began to come from the other dorms. It was during the next couple services that miracles happened in that youth camp. We saw a person come up out of his wheelchair. We saw a person healed from being deaf. We saw his glory. Another youth camp. We were there, and a man that had been in a very terrible accident. He could not walk. He had mostly in a wheelchair, but he could walk with a cane. He could barely walk. But during that camp, we were seeking after God. A bunch of the young people, we actually took 2 days during that camp. We didn't have a plan, but it was the way that the services were going. There was a hunger and a thirst for more. God, for more of the visitation of the Spirit of God. Can I really just say it nowadays that, look, we can get so smug. Yes, we have the truth. Yes, there's only one God. But just having the truth is not enough. We know less, I'm sure many, and we know more than Moses did as far as the revelation of the truth. But as far as the breadth of his understanding, I would imagine Moses probably would surpass us in several areas. But in any case, it was not enough for Moses, and it won't be enough for us just to say, I'm a Pentecostal, I'm one God, I have this measure of holiness, and we need holiness. But there's got to be something deeper than that. We were being stirred. We were being stirred in every service. 2 days, I don't know, it was a Tuesday and a Thursday, whatever it was, and many of us were going down. We were missing our lunch. We were praying, seeking after God. Hundreds of young people, young men and young ladies seeking after God. The services became more powerful until, I don't remember if it was the last night, Sister Wilson, or the second to the last night, but there were waves of the glory of God that began to come into that service. From the back, it seemed like there was a wave of the Spirit of God. As from the back, people stood and they began to sway under the power of the Holy Ghost. As it came towards the front, we all felt almost like that rushing mighty wind. The glory of God had been moving, moving. We'd spent time, there was weeping, there was seeking after God. And that man who was, I don't know about this time, he might have been 45 years old, maybe close to 50, somewhere in there, 45, 50 years old. But he was heavily, very, very wounded. He hobbled his way up to the front on those crutches. I guess he used crutches. And most of the time he was in a wheelchair, but he could come out of it and use crutches. And he hobbled his way. And he lifted up his hands. I'll never forget, because I saw with my own eyes, I saw him get a touch of God. I saw him begin to walk around without a limp. The next day, he actually ran around the bases and played softball. And for many, many years, he did what the doctor said that he would never do. He ran. I've seen times when the glory of God has touched people and changed them. But there has to be a hunger and a thirst in our hearts. Moses said, Lord, I've got to have something deeper. I've got to have a deeper revelation of you. I've got to have your glory in my life. Let's all stand together today. The book of 2 Peter, chapter number 1. I've just been preaching what I feel to preach here tonight. In 2 Peter, chapter 1, Peter, the author, writes, he says, we have not followed a cunningly devised fable when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his glory. They said they came to him from God the Father, honor and glory. And he said, we were there. Let's see here, verse number. He received from God the Father honor and glory. There came to him such a voice from the excellent glory, thou art my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. And he said, this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Amen. And we continue reading about the word of the Lord. But Peter said, we know what we saw. We saw his glory. We saw his glory. We have a no-so experience. And tonight, I don't know. I'm preaching this, and God knows what's going on in the spirit realm. I don't know exactly what's going on here tonight, but I do know this. That God is calling us in this day. He's calling this generation. I'm not intimidated in 2022. I don't think the young people, anybody should be intimidated what we are seeing and come to pass in this generation. But I am concerned, and I believe there will be more and more folks that say, I've got to have more than what my fathers had. I've got to have more than just inherit their religion and their beliefs. I've got to have an experience in the glory of God, in the presence of God. Many of us have already had it from time to time. But the Lord is challenging you to spend some time. And here we are again. We've got to spend some time in the glory of God. We must spend some time in the glory of God. Young people, young men, young ladies, men and women, there's got to be a place when we even move past the clock. When there's got to be a place we move past how long this is going to take. We move past that, and we've got to say, and we don't do this all the time, but we've got to get to the place where we say, I have just got to have something deeper. I've got to have something deeper. I've got to have something that will transform me. I want to feel that glorious power. I want to come into the presence of God. I'm not going to be satisfied completely until you show me your glory, God. There's nothing. There's no seminar. There's no preaching message that can equip you and change you like time in the presence of the glory of God. And you get to that place where you begin, the hair on your head, the back of your head begins to stand up. And your heart begins to be filled with the power and the love of God. The holiness of God becomes so great that your heart begins to feel like it's full of light and radiating God's love and God's mercy. Yes, 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 yes. We can come into the glory of God. And I wonder today, I wonder who here has a hunger for the glory of God. I wonder who today has been frustrated in your life and felt perhaps like Moses, that I just feel like I don't have enough. I just feel like I need something much, much deeper than what I have. I believe the Lord is offering it to you today. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. If you want the glory of God, there is something that can change us. It can change us from the Peter that denied the Lord into the Peter that stood up on the day of Pentecost with power and assurance and confidence in God. He was changed by the glory of God. God can still do it today. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord, I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to wait on you, Jesus. I've got to have a deeper experience. I've got to be saturated in the glory of God. Hallelujah. Oh, let's pray, Lord Jesus, help us, God, to come to conquer the flesh. Help us, Lord, to overcome the spirit of our age, the spirit of complacency, the spirit, God, of lethargy, the spirit of laziness in this generation. But, oh, God, I want to seek after you with all of my heart. God, I've got to have a deeper walk with you. I want to go beyond just speaking in tongues. I want to go beyond just going through the motions. Lord, I've got to have something deeper. Change me with your glory. Let's seek the Lord tonight.